JC Corcoran Podcast.
Uh-oh, what's this? What?
Pretty good. You had the big hair thing working back in
the day. Oh, it's Trista. Oh, look, Trista's talking to the media.
Could you try to respect her privacy, JC?
Is this one of the things that you would hide from your sweetie, Ryan?
Yeah. She's getting uglier, by the way. Did you notice that? She's not blonde.
So.
No, she's not blonde anymore. She's letting her hair get dark.
Yeah.
We tried to have Trista on the air when all this was going on, and they're like, please respect her privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we're just like a hometown radio station here. We thought that maybe she'd want it. No! She's a private person. Don't call back. Oh, okay, fine.
But this was the network who said that, not Trista or any of her family or anything.
Respect her privacy. Respect her privacy. And then I turn on the TV on The Bachelor show, and there she is in a shower rubbing her snatch against a complete stranger.
She knew his name.
She knew his first name. It's like, here, I'll tell you what. I'll put on a bikini with my big plastic fake boobs, and let's put a camera in there, and then let's turn the water on, and then we'll make out in the shower, and I'll just rub all over you, and we'll get my skin nice and glistening, and we'll watch that water just roll down my cleavage, and can we have a phone conversation with respect your privacy? She's a private person. What's wrong with you? Okay. Sorry.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
I hadn't heard that in a while, that Trista thing. Yeah, it's pretty damn funny. I'm cracking myself up here today. How you doing, kids? Good morning, if you want to go that far. It's Thursday, March 10th, 2022. 250 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. You are jcontheline.com. Hi. Well, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I was wrong. I really did think that there were indications that we were going to have a settlement in the Major League Baseball thing, and now, Rob Manfred, the commissioner, shows up at these meetings, these negotiating meetings, with his red pen with the cap already off and cocked and ready to go. He just, and a ruler, he just seems to love to put red lines through the Major League Baseball schedule. He canceled the first two series a couple of weeks ago, and then yesterday he showed up. He's got his red pen ready. He's got his ruler ready. Sure enough, they go in there, and the negotiations don't get a settlement, and he goes zip, zip, and scratches off another two series. So the earliest the Major League Baseball season could start right now would be April 14th. I still think they're going to get a settlement. I still think they're close enough so that we can anticipate something fairly soon. I just didn't hit it within the 36-hour window that I had given myself here. So April 14th at best. But I think we're going to have something here any day now. Channel 4 now has shown this video here.
Yeah,
cows
later,
on the loose.
The cow was wrangled in a yard, released back to where it belonged.
I have to give a disclaimer. No real or plastic animals were hurt during the filming of this chase.
The cow didn't know that the horse was fake.
The cow on the loose. They're on Channel 4. All of the TV stations are running. You know, it really is interesting. I've said this before. I'll say it again. The television morning shows right now are really imitating the old morning zoo radio shows. I mean, when you think about it, remember about 30 years ago, like back in the 80s, you'd get up in the morning and there'd be some sleepy old semi-retired guy in a wrinkled suit doing farm reports. And, those morning shows were a joke. I remember going back to the 70s, you'd turn on that morning show and you'd think to yourself, is anybody running this? I'll bet you I'm the only person watching this. And then, depending on where you lived, like I was living in northern Indiana, and kids would show up with their 4-H animals, the 4-H club. There'd be some, old anchor man there, and his best days were way in the rearview mirror. They had disappeared over the curvature of the earth, and he's standing there interviewing a 14-year-old kid who is, entering a cow at the state fair. And all of a sudden, I mean, it was like, you know, like 85, 86 right in there. I remember because I was working at Channel 5 at the time. And they were like, yeah, we're going to, you know, start this whole morning show thing. It's going to come on before the Today Show. And all of a sudden, everybody was doing it. And next thing you know, you got what you got right now, which is a whole room full of people. And they're all laughing and joking. And everybody's trying to get a funny line in. Well, that's the formula for morning radio. Or at least it used to be, you know, and there are still, you know, some shows like that where you have a big cast of characters like Rizzuto's show and stuff like that. Could be snowing at this time tomorrow, and the further west and northwest you go, the worse it's going to be. And I say west and northwest, a lot west and northwest. Like in Kansas City, it's already snowing and all that. That whole system, they originally thought yesterday that the snow might hit right about this time tomorrow morning. And now they seem to be indicating that it's going to start very late tonight. There'll snow overnight, depending on where you are. Could get an inch or two. But like I said, the further west and northwest you go, they're talking about 1 to 4. And then if you go up to like the Kirksville area and places like that, they're talking about maybe 5+. Good news is this is going to be over by Sunday. Temperature is going to be 60 degrees. It's going to be pushing 70 by midweek next week. Going to be seeing some new reporters. There's already a couple of new reporters on Channel 5. That's because they lost two of them because Casey Nolan, who had been at the station for like, I don't know, 20 years. And then this little Abby Larico. And I guess everybody liked her. I guess she was real nice and everything. But the first time I saw her, I remember saying this. Where's the rest of her face? The girl is, you know, sort of pretty, but you know, you go to her lower lip, there's supposed to be like a chin there and a whole bottom half of your face, and she doesn't have that. You know, when they do those public service announcements from some old lady who's been smoking her entire life, and they had to do surgery and take out her voice box and remove her jawbone, and she goes on TV and tries to tell young people, you know, not to smoke because this could happen to you too. I don't want to say it was that bad, but it was close. You know, her whole, like, her whole chin is gone. And then she shows up at the TV station a couple of years ago, sees Casey Nolan with his giant Harry Carey glasses and those monster-sized ears and says, he's for me. And they run off together. They got a job somewhere, I think in Texas or something, and they both left together. I guess they're going to get married. Casey Nolan with those big, maybe he wears the giant glasses because he wants to make it look like his ears are smaller, and he figures if he's got giant glasses, it'll make his ears look smaller. Guy's practically wearing a windshield. Come to think of it, if Abby Larico could have just borrowed some chin from Laura Hediger on Channel 4, and she's got plenty to spare, you'd have something. But we wish them well. Then you go over to Fox 2. Where are we going here? Here. Where's Fox 2?
Tomorrow morning for our commute. So thankfully, we get to enjoy a much better situation. We'll flip over to the MoDOT camera in our area. This is 70 out in St. Charles County. Looks a lot better, right? So if you are traveling 70, maybe...
This girl, I think, is probably the best-dressed woman on television, and I want to know how she's doing it because she's doing the traffic for Fox 2, and they don't pay somebody very much money to do that. So she must come from money, or maybe she married a guy who's got money or something like that, because she's the best dressed looking woman on television. Molly Rose is her name. Molly Rose. And then they cut to this Asian weather girl who, I don't know, joined the station maybe about a year and a half ago. And she went into the dress barn over there at 40 and Brentwood and said, give me 15 dresses that are exactly the same style except different colors. And so she shows up on TV every day wearing the exact same dress, but just a different color every day. Yeah, here she is with her forecast on how much snow.
Especially for that morning commute tomorrow. So just watch out for some slick spots tomorrow morning. This will continue to snow throughout the rest of the afternoon hours and winding down by the evening hours. So we are going to see accumulating snow after all is said and done. 1 to 3 inches of accumulation is possible here in the Metro St. Louis area, and more accumulations as we head towards the northwest or Kansas City, up to 6 to 7 inches possible.
6 to 7? Oh, Jesus. Okay. Let's just forget about that. Joe Biden, I believe, is doing a little better job than people are giving him credit for. And we only talk about politics here on the show when it is absolutely unavoidable. And this is one little segment that qualifies for that. A lot of stupid people out there think the president of the United States controls gasoline prices, not only in our country, but around the world. And he does not. Not this president, not any president. That's just not how it works. But I consider myself a little bit of an expert on the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. And it's not just because I watched 13 Days like 50 times. But for those of you who are unaware of what happened back in 1962, one day somebody walks into the White House and goes, "We got these pictures, and they're building missile silos, and they're in Cuba, and they're pointing them at the United States, and what the fuck?" And Kennedy, you know, was tiptoeing through a minefield because he was not only having to battle the Soviet Union at that time, but also his own advisors and his own military people here in this country who wanted to basically blow up the world. And so Kennedy and his brother and his advisors just really tiptoed through the entire thing, and we managed to avoid a world war. And it wasn't easy. And it wasn't easy. And that's what I think is happening right now, because if you start that no-fly zone, you're basically saying World War III has just begun. Because you know that Putin's guys are going to violate it, and then you got to shoot them down. And once you shoot down a Russian plane, you give a mouse a cookie, and here we go. And as Walter Cronkite said back in 1962, there goes the whole ball game. So you can be critical of Biden if you want, and certainly he's leaving himself open for an awful lot of criticism these days, but not on this. Not on this. I think these guys are smart. I don't know if we're going to stop Putin, but I think we are going to stop World War III. But now they're saying Putin might start using chemical weapons. He's already bombing hospitals and a children's hospice and apartment buildings and stuff that has little, if anything, to do with scoring military battles. He's just a mean fucking prick. And the most chilling thing that I saw, it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, one of the cable outfits had one of these women on who, you know, has been with the government for years and years and years, and just a very, very articulate woman who knows where all the bodies are buried. You know what I'm talking about? And just sort of knows everything. Probably there people, if you're looking for something to criticize about this, you know, she would probably be described as a member of the deep state. All right. But anyhow, she's on the air talking the other day, and she's like, "I don't think that Vladimir Putin has any qualms about conflating conventional warfare, you know, bombs and missiles and stuff like that, or chemical weapons or nuclear weapons. To him, they're all sort of the same." So he just sits there, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And, you know, they're really afraid that he's going to be doing the chemical weapons thing over there. For the first time in my life, I find myself wondering if there is a world leader, in this particular case, Putin, who's really capable of using nuclear weapons. And this ain't like Harry Truman, who said, "Look, this war has been going 4 years and it might go another four, and we're going to get more and more people killed in this whole thing. We're going in with a big one." There's a huge difference between that and what Putin is trying to get away with now. I hope I'm wrong. This ain't no good. And now for some very important news of the day. It is National Ranch Dressing Day, when we're supposed to take time to appreciate ranch dressing and everything it does to make our lives better. Here are some stats and some facts to help you celebrate. Did you know Hidden Valley Ranch is a real place? Well, it was a real place. A guy named Steve Henson invented ranch dressing in the 1950s by mixing buttermilk with different herbs and spices. He perfected it while living at a place called Hidden Valley Ranch near Santa Barbara, California. And for the first few years, you could only order it through the mail. Chicago Tribune ranked the best ranch dressings a while back, put Hidden Valley at number one, but a separate ranking by a professional taste tester claimed Ken's ranch dressing is better for dipping things like fries. Mashed.com, a website we get a lot of stuff for the podcast from, claims Wingstop has the best fast food ranch and McDonald's ranked last. A Wingstop employee actually went viral last month after people were shocked to find out there's mayonnaise in ranch dressing. 8% of Americans put ranch dressing on burgers. 36% think cold pizza dipped in ranch sounds good. And 20% have mixed ranch with salsa before. and Ranch has been the best-selling salad dressing here in our country since 1992, but Hidden Valley says only 30% of the dressing they sell is used on salads now, the other 70% used for dipping on other foods. By the way, Hidden Valley has been teasing a big announcement today, something to do with ranch and carrots, but not carrots like, what's up, Doc? Carrots as in diamonds. I'll be on the edge of my seat. Well, in movies, it's really fun. There are always great scenes when, like, take this job and shove it, that sort of stuff. Office Space, somebody just, you know, flips out and quits their job. Fight Club. Well, that was more of a firing. But anyhow, if you have ever had this fantasy about doing a rage quit, which is funny because they have a name for it, a survey found that 41% of employees who do that rage quit thing, or even if you still show up every day, but you just sort of emotionally pull back from your responsibilities and you end up leaving or quitting or getting fired because of your behavior, 41% of those people tried to get their jobs back, and 78% of people who tried to go back were able to. But it's important to understand what got people to that breaking point in the first place. 47% said it was poor management. 44% said a toxic boss was involved. 40% said it was excessive work stress. Other reasons include a culture of overworking, being underpaid, feeling underappreciated, poor work/life balance, and a lack of regard for employee mental health. Sounds like every radio station I ever worked at. You know, I'm posting a picture of Larry David today, of what he looked like back in the 1970s. It's incredible. It's going to be on Facebook later on today, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. And Larry David tells this great story. Way back in the day, he was a writer for Saturday Night Live. Well, something happened back then. He got really, really pissed off and, just basically said, that's it. Fuck it. I quit. I hate this show. I hate the way I'm being treated. I'm not getting respect. I'm submitting sketches. They're turning them down. That's it. Fuck it. I've had it. And makes a big scene and walks out in the middle of the show on a Saturday night. Wakes up on Sunday morning and figures, what the fuck did I do? And you know what his strategy was? His strategy on Monday morning, he just walked in like nothing happened, sat down at the table, and nobody said anything. And he ended up keeping his job. One of the advantages of working remotely, and we've talked about this, you know, because radio stations were notorious for having that one gas station bathroom. We always talked about it, the gas station bathroom. We had that when we were at K-Hits and Casey and stuff like that. And it was just sort of like God forgot in this bathroom. And it was real, real close to the studio, so you could run out, have your pants down, and be going within about 15 seconds. The only problem is nobody ever did that. Everybody always went down the hall, up the stairs, to the second floor, and used the real bathrooms because nobody wanted to sit on that toilet in that gas station bathroom, which was adjacent to the studios. With the exception of Sean Hannity, as I was talking about this a couple of weeks ago, who was using one of our empty studios one day. He was in town doing an appearance, and so he had to do his show. So he did his show from the studio right across the hall from us, and he had to go, and nobody warned him, don't use that bathroom. And so he did, and we know this because a lot of people saw him go in, except for Katie Cruz, who came from the other end of the hallway, did not know that there was somebody in that bathroom who had failed to lock the door, Sean Hannity, and Katie walks in, opens the door, and there's Sean Hannity sitting on the throne. That's tough to come back from. That is tough to come back from. Anyhow, 2/3 of Americans refuse to go number two at work and would rather just hold it, according to a new poll. Top reasons it stresses us out. We're worried somebody might hear us. We don't want somebody talking to us while we're doing our business. And there are other etiquette rules, 5 of them, as a matter of fact. Number 1, don't look through the gaps in the bathroom stall, pervert. Don't talk to somebody while they're going. Number 3, when possible, keep one stall or urinal between you and the next person. Number 4, avoid unnecessary noises like grunting. And then there's a three-way tie for fifth place. You shouldn't stay in there any longer than necessary. Don't talk on the phone when you're in there. And never make eye contact with anybody at the urinals. It's really funny when you go to a baseball game. It's like, okay, it's the bottom of the sixth. I can't hold it anymore. I got to run to the bathroom. And you go run in there, and there's always some young father with his like three-year-old, four-year-old little boy. And as they're walking in, the father's like, don't touch anything. And the kid's looking like, why not? Just don't. Speaking of your business end, the former assistant principal of a Mississippi elementary school says he was fired for reading a children's book to a group of second graders. The book is called I Need a New Butt. It's a silly comic story about a young boy who thinks that he needs a new butt because the one he has is cracked. Again, the guy says no parents complained, but school officials canceled him anyhow. They fired the guy. I interviewed Cameron Diaz in person out in California. It was like 20 years ago or something like that. And I remember walking in the room going, wow. So makeup really is important in movies. I thought she looked like a skank. And also, I'll tell you something else. When she laughed at something, when she, you know, like when you laugh really hard, instead of just ha 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 ha, she did this laugh. It was like, Now, after years of dealing with society's expectations of women's appearances, Cameron Diaz has embraced her natural beauty. She says the last thing she thinks about is what she looks like, and she says she never washes her face. That sounds about right. All right, late night tonight, Naomi Watts. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Colbert's got Daniel Craig, Adam Scott. I'm with James Corden. Seth Meyers has Taylor Schilling and Chris Redd from Saturday Night Live. Sandra Oh is on with Trevor Noah. Selma Blair's boyfriend arrested for allegedly assaulting her. He says she attacked him. She's got, what, multiple sclerosis? I think that's what it is. It's going to be hard to prove in court that she attacked him. Conrad Janis. You may not know the name, but he played Mindy's dad on Mork and Mindy. Passed away last week. Jussie Smollett gets sentenced today for lying to the cops about being attacked. Pete Davidson getting a show loosely based on his own life, sort of like Curb Your Enthusiasm. Nick Cannon's talk show has been canceled. So has Judge Jerry. That would be Jerry Springer. Birthdays today, Olivia Wilde is nuts. She's also 38. She was living with Jason Sudeikis, and all of a sudden she just packs up her stuff one day, moves out and moves in with, I think it was Harry Styles. In the meantime, Jason Sudeikis, he's the hottest thing in show business right now because of Ted Lasso. And anyway, Olivia Wilde, 38 today. Carrie Underwood, who auditioned for American Idol and won the whole damn thing, but did her audition in St. Louis, 39. John Hamm, 51. Paget Brewster. I'm a big fan of hers. She's on Criminal Minds. She was in a cable series on Showtime called Huff a couple years ago. It was really good at it. She's 53 today. Edie Brickell, married to Paul Simon, is 56. Sharon Stone, 64. Shannon Tweed, Gene Simmons' wife, softcore queen, Playboy centerfold, the whole bit. Shannon Tweed, 65 today. Tom Scholz of Boston, 75. And the guy who was the first celebrity I ever interviewed as a professional broadcaster back in 1978. I was working at a radio station in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Some of the best call letters ever, by the way, WXKE. They drove Chuck Norris all the way from Chicago to Fort Wayne. That's a three-hour drive to be on my radio show. And he was great, by the way. I don't have much appreciation for Chuck Norris these days or for the last like 40 years. But I was, I think, maybe 24 at the time, and they bring in Chuck Norris, whose career was just starting to take off, and he was a great interview, by the way, a really great interview, and he was really, really nice to me. He's 82 today. Lloyd Bridges died in Westwood, California on this day 24 years ago in 1998. He was 85. Sea Hunt, when I was a kid, was a big, big deal. There was always an underwater fight, and some guy with a knife always tried to cut his air hose. It was like the same plot week after week, and I still loved it. And a lot of people don't know this. Lloyd Bridges was the director's and the producer's original choice to play Coach on Cheers, But Lloyd Bridges was doing a lot of movies at the time. He wasn't available, and so they got Nicholas Colasanto, and then he died, and then they brought in Woody Harrelson. But Lloyd Bridges was the original choice for that show. And 15 years ago today, 2007, Richard Jenny, who was one of the funniest people ever to walk the earth, as you're going to hear in just a moment here, in 2007, was living in Phoenix with a television reporter from one of the Phoenix television stations, but he was having all sorts of emotional issues, and I remember we had him on the air to plug an appearance he was doing at the Boat up in Alton, I guess it was the Alton Bell Casino, and I said, okay, well, Richard, thanks very much. I'll see you at the show on Saturday night. We go to the show, comes out on stage. It looks like he weighs about 95 pounds. He was absolutely hilarious that night, and after the show, I sent a note to take backstage, and I said, you know, tell Richard that J.C. Corcoran from the radio station is here if he'd like to come out and say hi. And he comes bopping out about 10 minutes later and just didn't look right, didn't seem right, seemed a little paranoid. I don't know what was going on. I only know that about 3 weeks later, he was dead, shot himself in the head. His family said he'd been diagnosed with clinical depression and bouts of psychotic paranoia, but man, was this motherfucker funny.
On the other hand, the woman never tells you on the first date that she happens to drink some red wine and has some PMS that she's capable of crimes against humanity. Yeah. So, you know, you can't blame the woman for being in a bad mood. You know, sometimes she's having a period, the chemicals are moving through her there. Sometimes those chemicals mix with the chemicals in the wine, and it's like a witch's brew. A little menstruation, a bottle of Cabernet. Now you'll be wrong no matter what you say. We went out to a restaurant on her birthday. And we were having a really good time, but she was drinking red wine and having PMS, so I'm on full security alert. I know a fight's coming. I don't know where, I don't know how. I just know it'll be long, it'll be bad, and I won't know how it started. Sure enough, this waitress comes walking toward our table with the biggest bouncy waitress knockers, proving once again that tits are like the police. They're always walking in when you don't want them to. If you're looking for them, no chance. When you don't want them, boom, 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 boom. This is when your brain sends an emergency message down to your eyeballs, like, attention eyeballs, this is the brain. Mayday, mayday, mayday. We have two giant presumes closing from the south. Do not engage. Repeat, do not engage. She's drinking red wine and there's PMS. We are at DEFCON 3. I say again, two bouncing honkers are closing. Chest size, 3, 9er. Cup size, David, David, David. Do not engage those tits. But it's too late because your eyeballs are calling back like this. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit there, brain. Looks like we've got a couple of bazooms closing in from the south here. We're going to bank left and swoop in and get a closer look at this situation. So I guess I glanced at him. Across the table, here's the view.
Do you like the waitress's body? Do you think she's attractive? Because if you do, maybe you should be with her instead of me.
Go home then. This is when you hear the alarm from the end of every science fiction movie you've ever seen, when a planet's blowing up and you're... And 3 minutes to total destruction. There are 28 million possible answers to do you like the waitress's tits. All of them are incorrect. So you're sitting there going, to her boobs, did I like... No?
Why do you have to lie every second of your life? I'd have more respect for you if you acted like a man once in a while.
Attention all units, this is the brain. Do not act like a man. Repeat, do not act like a man. I've seen this before. You're being lured into an ambush. Jesus Christ, get everybody the fuck out of there, and I mean now.
That's awfully, awfully good stuff right there. But we lost Richard Jenny 15 years ago today. And on that happy note, it's it for the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Thursday, March 10th, 2022. 2022, 250 days remaining in our American system of democratic government as we have known it. We are here every weekday morning, right about 7 o'clock. We archive all the shows. Everything is absolutely free. You can email me, jc@jconline.com, Facebook, the Showgram with JC Corcoran. Continue to spread the word, please. We're in the top 10 podcasts of everything podcasting coming out of your computer around the country. So let's stay there. What do you say? Continue to spread the word. So tomorrow we're here for what might be a little bit of a tricky morning drive. We shall see. Otherwise, have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.